Blog Talk Radio.
Jake from State Farm.
What's good?
Oh, Patrick?
Nah, fam. Just your typical sneakerhead working here for the employee discount. But speaking of deals, I heard regular guys like me are getting the Patrick price. That can't be real, right?
Listen, State Farm offers rates that fit any budget. Even yours, typical sneakerhead.
Wow, just anyone now?
Yeah.
Man, these just sold out then.
For surprisingly great rates that fit any budget, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Call or click to get a quote today.
Hello. So at 7:17 p.m. this afternoon, this was dropped in my spirit. So I want to share with you guys before I jump into my show tonight. So I want to welcome you first. I want to share with you guys that God would take every opportunity and make it a learning experience. Don't think it's strange that to you it seemed like you're always going through something, but you come through it always like a bright light. Matthew 7:17 was dropped in my spirit. It says, likewise, every good tree bears good fruit. A bad tree bears bad fruit. You are called. Know that because when you want to quit, and no matter what comes at you, you can't quit. Somebody needed to hear that tonight. And I just had to share that before I jump into the show. So, good evening, good evening, good evening. This is the 2895th presentation of Ngozi Time, Multimedia LLC, and the 1302nd episode of Damon Network. I want to thank you once again for tuning in to Walk in Purpose with Angela. You can call in at 516-453-9133. Conversation brought to you by them boys at Looking Glass Entertainment. Of course, you can press 1 to join the conversation. I want you to invite a friend tonight. I'm super excited, like always. Tonight, we are broadcasting live from Lagos, Nigeria. And again, I want to invite you to call in 516-453-9133. Conversation brought to you by them boys at Looking Glass Entertainment. Of course, I want you to press 1, engage, and interact with us on tonight. I promise you, you will be blessed. Before we jump in, I have to give a happy birthday to my grandmother. She would have been 99 on today. Happy birthday in heaven, Grandma Eula H. Martin. And I also want to give a shout out to my godmother on tonight as her soulmate, Kenny Stone, celebrate his first year in heaven. Happy birthday, Mr. Kenny. So tonight is very special to me because we're going to be talking about domestic violence. Of course, I'm a domestic violence survivor. I have two amazing women that is very important in my life. They are mentors to me. And then I have a very, very special young lady that's going to be sharing her journey. And her journey is not easy. So I want to warn you guys before we jump into this conversation, some of the things may be graphic because her journey was, it was, oh my God. I'm going to let her tell it. But I want to introduce my co-host tonight. My co-host is Samantha Joyner Jackson. Are you on, Samantha?
Yes, I am. Good afternoon.
Hey,
good afternoon.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Of course, I'm great. Don't know how I'm going to be later on in the show, but right now I'm great. I'm here.
You're going to be fine. You're going to be fine.
Before we jump into the conversation, because I know it's going to get deep, I want you to share with those that are listening tonight just a little bit about who Samantha is.
Well, I'm known as author Samantha J. I'm an author. I'm a life coach, business and career life coach. I'm also a celebrity writer for Scars of Survival magazine, and I am a life coach helping other authors and other people who are wanting to move into business or move in a different direction in career, coaching them into that direction. I am also a domestic violence survivor.
So tonight, I definitely want you to share just a little bit about your journey as a domestic violence survivor as we interview these two amazing individuals on tonight. I definitely want you to chime in with me, engage in the conversation. If anything crossed your mind, please ask the question. But tonight, we're here to educate, empower, and encourage someone that may be going through the things that we've been through on this journey that we call life, because it has not been easy. But we're here,
right.
And we're here because we have a purpose. I want you to share just a little bit about Raw and Real before we go in to the conversation.
So the latest book I have out is Raw and Real, How to Live Your Best Life. And what raw means is radiant, authentic, and worthy. And the real is restored, endurance, ambitiously letting go. When I wrote this book, I wanted people to understand that no matter what adversities you go through, you can live your best life in the end of it. you don't have to stay where you are. A lot of people think when they go through abuse, and there's so many different types of abuse. I talk about that in one of my chapters about abuse. But people think abuse or domestic violence is just simply somebody beating up on you. And that's not always the case. There's so many channels of being abused. So when I wrote this book, I wanted to discuss the channels in one of the chapters, because I would say 80% of people, men and women, have been abused in some way. So it doesn't always have to be physical. And that's one important thing I want people to understand, because they think, oh, they're not really abusing me. But certain abuse can take you into another level of abuse. Abuse comes in so many forms. There's mental, sexual, verbal, financial, cultural, and physical abuse. So when you have all these stages in abuse, you have to understand that one can lead into another. So when I wrote this book, I went into the process of talking about how people have situations in different in life, and self-evaluations, and being in an unhappy place, and having suicidal mindsets, and going through divorce, going through family resentment, being accepted, being able to live their truth, dealing with children, period, a depression, and the bottom line is forgiveness. And in writing this book, I wanted people to understand through all of those adversities that I mentioned, you can learn to live your best life and move past it. You don't have to stay in that situation or the mindset of the situation. And what I mean by that is, a lot of times we go through stuff such as domestic violence, and we stick it in our mind like, oh, I'm no good now. I'm ruined. I'm spoiled. You know, I don't feel like people accept me. I don't feel like I'm going to be ever loved. And I want people to understand, once you get past all of that and God removes that out, you take forth the first step. God will help you through the rest of the steps. You can learn to live your best life.
Wow. I'm excited about tonight, because what you just shared is just amazing, because it's going to help somebody tonight. So I want you guys to call in 516-453-9133. Make sure you press 1 if you want to join the conversation. If you just want to listen, just dial in. But I'm excited. I'm going to get Brother O to play a track really quick. And then when we come back, I'm going to bring our first guest.
You gon' have to show me what you're looking for now. See, you trying to save faces. You like to play games, check the board now. Ooh, who cares what's the score now? It's what you say. If it ain't good, keep it to yourself. All that arguing can't be good for your head, no. We could be the best of lovers, could be the worst of enemies. It's all in what you're willing to do to keep the peace between you and me. Girl, I know nobody like no.
All right, y'all. 516-453-9133. Press 1 to join the conversation. Johnny B. Olasky. And now back to Angela Thomas Smith.
That was our Hall of Fame DJ and producer, Brother Ngozi. Thank you. So Samantha was sharing that there's different forms of domestic violence, domestic abuse. Of course, I want to share some statistics really quick before I bring my special guest on. And I hope I don't mess her name up. Roselle Hall is going to be my next guest. Well, actually my first guest. But as Samantha was sharing, there's various types of abuse, mental, emotional, spiritual, financial, psychological, and the list goes on and on and on. And every day there's something added to that list. There's always going to be different types of ways to abuse somebody when people feel that they are superior. They feel like they can be dominant and over somebody. You're always going to have that issue. But I want to share some statistics. It says sexual assault that happens 1 in 5 women, 1 in 40 men in the United States are victims of rape or attempted rape. It says nearly 1 in 5 women and 1 in 12 men have experienced contact with sexual violence by an intimate partner in their lifetime. It says stalking happens 66.2% in females. It says 1 in 10 women experience this and 1 in 50 men experience stalking by intimate partners. It says homicide happens 1 in 2 females. That means 50% of the time there's domestic violence involved with a woman and homicide. Say 1 in 2 female murder victims, 1 in 13 males are killed by intimate partners. That is just disheartening to me. You know, I'm taken back, and I'm off script tonight. This is totally off script tonight. I'm taken back because I go on Facebook earlier today, and one of my friends had posted that her granddaughter had been murdered in cold blood by her boyfriend, and he also killed her best friend at a Wendy's restaurant, and then he killed himself. You know, this is happening so often, and we need to do something about this. So I talk about it across my various platforms from time to time. But it's, of course, coming up on Domestic Violence Awareness Month, but we're in the middle of Suicide Awareness Month. Samantha, what is your take on what is actually taking place right now? What is going on right now? Because we're seeing a lot of this, and the numbers are going up because of this pandemic. You know, when people were able to escape, they can't escape now.
Exactly. Because people are living, they're living in the home with their abusers, and they have nowhere to go. So it has gone up. A lot of murders have gone up as well because they're stuck in that situation, or they feel like they're stuck in that situation. But if anybody want to know, I definitely want to say this. Just because you feel that there's nobody there, or you can't financially move forward, or you have to stay there because it's financial reasons, there is help out there, guys. You don't stay in a situation with someone who's abusing you or could happen to kill you. It's so much of it is going on right now, I think, because a lot of people feel like, I got to stay because I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. So, therefore, you have to set in your mind or have a mindset of, you know what, regardless of the situation, I got to move on. Because once you take the first step to get out, there is assistance out there to help you. And that's what a lot of people fail to understand. It's that first step. The first step is, and I share my story a little later in the show, but when I realized I went about it the wrong way, I'll be honest with you. I got out, but I went about it the wrong way. So when I tell my story, I don't want anybody to try to do something like that, what I did to get out. But there are ways, and there, that's why I write for the Domestic Violence Magazine, Scars of Survival, because I talk to a lot of women. One woman told me in her interview, she didn't know where to go, and she didn't want to go back to family because she didn't want to hear, I told you so. There's a lot of people out there like that. They don't want to reach out to friends and family because they don't want to hear, I told you so. But the bottom line is we got to put our pride behind us and do what we got to do for our safety.
It's time to heal. I'm telling you, that word heal, hindrance, ego, attitude, love, it's time. It's time. I want to bring my first guest up. I'm telling you, this young lady's story is amazing. You touched on some amazing things just now. We don't realize that when we stay in situations, that sometimes we make those situations worse. And that
right.
It start involving the kids. It start involving people that are connected to us. Then people around us start being affected. And
that's why I'm glad you wrote the book. I'm glad you're bringing out that book, because there are women that shares their story on how, you know, you can move forward. So when that book hits in October, guys, get it, because there's a lot of women in that book who is going to help you and guide you in what to do. And outside of that book, I can't stress this enough, reach out, because you would not believe how much help is in your community, in your area, that's supporting domestic violence, who can help you move forward.
Exactly, because it's time out to continue to hurt in silence. It's time out. We've hurt in silence for too long, and it's time out. So I want to bring my first guest up, Razelle Hall. Are you on, sweetie?
Yes.
Hello? Hey,
hello.
How are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing great. So first, I want you to tell those that are tuned in just a little bit about yourself. And then I want you to share your story, because your story is very, very compelling. And I want you to share that, because I know some people can relate. So share a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm 44 now. My story took place when I was 8 until I was 13. I've been sharing my story publicly this last year with quite a few areas, and, you know, trying to get awareness out there. I have recently just became an advocate for the Studio 222 films for not too far from here, and we've got bracelets that we are distributing to police officers now to be able to take and give to victims of domestic violence. But I focused a lot on how much the system fails children or has, you know, failed a lot of children, especially when it comes to domestic violence, because a lot of people are not aware of how to go about it to help the children get out. And they turn around and they, instead of getting the right channels going, they go to the source of the abuse and say, oh, well, your child came to me and said that this is going on in the home. And that's kind of what happened with me.
Wow.
And, you know, in the long run,
before we get
they tried
into your story, because your story is going to go deep. Before we go into your story, I want to give my producer a chance to play this song, and then we're going to jump into your story right after this song. Okay.
Okay.
Welcome back to Walk in Purpose with Angela here on O&E Dynasty, broadcasting live from Lagos, Nigeria. I am Angela Thomas. So tonight we have Razelle Hall, and she was getting ready to share her journey with us. I tell you, when I heard this young lady's story, I knew that I had to have her on so that she could share with the world, so that people know that this happens. So please start where you would like and begin to share.
Well, it started when I was 8 years old. My mom and my dad got a divorce. When they got a divorce, my mom and my stepdad led me to believe that the guy that had raised me for 8 years was not my real dad, that he was my, you know, and that my stepdad, which is the one she was currently going to marry, was my real dad. So, of course, I didn't want nothing to do with my real dad, you know. If I'm named after him, I don't want that name, you know, this, that, and the other. So I went by Misty because that's the name that my mom and my stepdad came up with. Well, your name was supposed to be Misty. You know, your birth certificate's wrong, blah, 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 blah. So I went by Misty. It wasn't too long after they got married that my grandmother passed away. And my stepdad chose to move us to Illinois to be closer to my mom's side of the family. And they would see the bruises and stuff on my mom. And it started not too long after they got married either. They would see the bruises on my mom and they would tell my mom, oh, you need to just, you know, work on your marriage. You need to fix things with your husband. You know, basically don't come running to us because there's nothing we can do for you. You made your bed, you lie in it. And so we ended up moving to Texas near my stepdad's side of the family. Well, then my stepsister came to live with us when we were down there. And we had been, you know, like best friends when we were in school together, because that's how my mom originally had met my stepdad, was because it was her best friend's husband. And we were led to believe that we were actually real life sisters, you know, that we were blood sisters. And we didn't get along and stuff. So he would handcuff us together, whether it be just together or around trees until we could get along, which never worked. He started sexually abusing me at the age of 8. He told me that if I ever told anybody that he would kill me. And of course, you know, a child, you know, you already know he's abusing your mother, and, you know, he's physically abusive to you. Besides sexually, he would keep all of us mentally, you know, frustrated and emotionally upset all the time. He would always start a fight when we'd go to sit down for dinner, to the point where none of us wanted to eat. And then tell us we had no choice but to eat and we weren't going to leave the table until we did eat. And it just kind of progressed from there. We bounced around a lot. We ended up moving back to Illinois close to the family. We had a trailer fire and ended up moving into a big old, you know, bigger house. And he didn't like the way the rooms that we had chose for ourselves. And he had a bedroom of his own because he was a cross-dresser. He led us all to believe that he used to be a woman and that he chose to take on, you know, the identity of this male and stuff like that. But when he would dress, you know, cross-dress and be Cindy, he was nice. He wasn't abusive, none of that. So we kind of just dealt with it. But he had put my bedroom at the front of the house upstairs, and he chose the bedroom that had an adjoining wall. Well, he decided to cut a hole through the wall and make like a secret passage from his room into my room. So even if I got away and locked my door, he could still come through that secret passage to get to me. I wasn't aware that he had actually tried to sexually molest my stepsister until like 2018, when we actually, you know, reconnected. He decided we were all going to go on a family vacation to Branson, Missouri. Well, that turned into a week later moving to Branson, Missouri. We lived in a trailer park or in a KOA campgrounds, basically in a little motor home We ended up getting into a trailer in a trailer park down there. And, I mean, it. My friends at school would see the bruises on me, this, that, and the other, because I was real quiet. I didn't talk to nobody. I became friends with another gal because her name was also Misty. And she finally convinced me, along with another friend from Branson, to go talk to the school counselor about the abuse. So I went to go speak to the school counselor, and the school counselor's like, okay, you know, we'll get you help, this, that, and the other. Well, that was one of the worst mistakes, not on my part for asking for help, but on the counselor's part, because she picks up the phone and she calls my stepmom or my stepdad and my mom. Well, they then in turn said,
"We getting deep. We finna get deep. And before we get deep, I want to take this first caller because someone wants to say something. Caller number one. Thank you. Can you please tell me your name and where you're calling from?
Hi, Angela. It's Genesis Amaris Kemp, and I'm calling in from Texas. And I just really want to commend your guest for being vulnerable and sharing her story, because sometimes when we go through trauma, some people never talk about their traumas and they never want to. By her sharing her story, it's helping someone who may be going through this now to give them the strength to really work up the courage to do something different, to change, to leave, to make their escape route or their exit strategy. So I want to thank you for curating this space tonight, because it is a very valid topic, and I think a lot of women have been dealing with this, especially now since the pandemic. So thank you for bringing this topic to the forefront and shedding light on it.
Well, thank you. Thank you for chiming in tonight. Before you leave, would you please share with those that are listening exactly who are you, Genesis?
So I am a motivational speaker, visionary life coach, and I'm also the author of Chocolate Drop in Corporate America, From the Pit to the Palace, and an ONE radio host. My show is called Gems, and the next show is Monday, September 27th. Very multifaceted, but super passionate about pushing the pillars of motivation, education, and inspiration, because when we share our stories, we are lighting someone else's torch. We're giving them the fuel for their fire, and we're letting them know that, hey, I've been where you were at, and this is how I get over it. And you will too.
Wow. I want to thank you. Thank you for calling me in. We're going to go back to Ms. Hall and finish allowing her to share just a little bit. Samantha, you still there, right?
Yes, I am. I'm still here.
You can chime in with any questions or any comments with our guests as well. But I want to allow Ms. Hall, because her story is going to get deep. So if you have any questions for her, please. And Ms. Hall, at any time, if you feel like we're going too deep or if you need to stop, please just let me know. We always can get our amazing DJ to play some music, because I don't want to overwhelm you, because I know it can be some overwhelming, especially with different parts of your story. But if you would, continue.
The school counselor, you know, of course, made that phone call, and they set my mom up for, and my stepdad up for counseling. Well, of course, the counselor has got both of them in the room together, asking my mom, well, is he abusive? Well, you're sitting right next to the abuser. You know, she's not going to answer those questions. She's going to sit there and, you know, she's like, you know, didn't really answer them, because she didn't say yes, she didn't say no, which should have gave, you know, red flags to the counselor. But, you know, this was back in 1990. And with everything that happened, you know, I don't think a lot of people were aware enough to know how to help. So they had them go to counseling. So they had their counseling on a Friday. And the counselor's like, oh, well, you need to set down rules for the girls. The girls are the problem. They're the ones that are causing the fighting, the arguing, the, you know, but he was playing mind games. He was always constantly saying something to one of us and then getting us all riled up to fight each other, tension off of what he was doing. But he decided to be nice. So I'm going to go and put gas in my mom's car. So he had a full tank of gas in her car. He put a full tank of gas in his car. They got back from the counseling session. They were sitting down, and he's trying to write out, you know, the rules for us girls. Us girls were at school still. And my mom made the mistake and looked at him and said, I want a divorce. The girls are not the problem. I want a divorce. And he said, do you want a divorce? You want out of this? He stripped her down completely naked, took all of her jewelry, her dentures, her glasses, everything, and proceeded to choke her. Because when he pulled her into the bedroom and did all this, she's like, sex isn't going to fix anything. And he's like, I find a body that can't prove a thing. I guess he realized that it was close to time for us girls to be coming home at this point, because he brought her out of it, told her to get up, get dressed, because we would be home. Me and my stepsister walked through the door, and I seen the strangulation marks on my mom, which caused me to go into defense mode of my, you know, of my mother, and proceeded to fight him and trying to figure out how we were going to get out, which made it worse. So, you know, I don't suggest making, I was only 13 at the time, so I didn't know any better. The only thing I was raised is the fighting usually gets something accomplished. But, so my stepsister and me, I had a bedroom in the trailer. I had an actual bedroom. My stepsister actually lived in he had like partitioned off part of the living room of the trailer, and that was her bedroom behind the living, by behind the couch. And so he made her sleep in my room that night. And I'm like, okay, so because I fell asleep on the couch with my mom. We were going to stay up all night long. We figured we'd be able to get out the next day. Well, he didn't go to work the next day. He called in and told him that he was sick and he wouldn't be coming in. Well, he wouldn't let me make any phone calls. He finally let me call my best friend, Misty. And we had our own little, I mean, you know how kids are. They have their own little code they can talk, or, you know, how they write letters back or text notes and stuff. They have their own little way of doing it. Well, we had made up our own little, like, decoder messages with just letters, and then she would know what to decipher. So she knew what was going on, and so she told her parents, and her parents were like, well, if you don't hear from them by tomorrow, if we don't hear from her tomorrow, then we'll call the police. So this is the Saturday. Me and my stepsister, you know, I went in and out. I was like, I'm going to go check the mail. He was watching and constantly following us. You know, he couldn't follow all three of us. So my stepsister's like, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this. And, you know, we tried to separate to try to find a way to get help, but he was constantly, you know, around one of us. You know, we couldn't get the help. Well, me and my mom had already been up the whole night before and all day. So by the time Saturday, at some point, we had to have fallen asleep. And, of course, my stepsister's, you know, sleeping in my room, which is at the very back of the trailer. And she said that she remembers hearing something that was, you know, not right. It was a sound that she didn't recognize. And so she came out to find out what was going on. And she said when she came out, she screamed because there was blood on my mom and me. And he had his hand up in the air, getting ready to come down and strike me again. And when she screamed, he stashed the weapon, but she couldn't remember where it was either when it came to court. But so he drug both of us up on, you know, he tried getting us both awake. My mom sat up straight when she heard my stepsister scream and touched her head because it was just throbbing. And when she pulled both of her hands down, they were covered in blood. She looked back and the whole pillow was saturated in blood. And I had blood coming down the side of my face. And she's like, what have you done? And he told my stepsister, oh, somebody broke in. They tried, you know, he assaulted them. I'm trying to help them. And so he told her to go get wet towels, this, that, and the other, which they weren't helping. We kept trying to tell my stepsister, you need to leave. We're already dead. You know, you need to get out. And we kept him held down because by this point he'd already dragging us up on the couch around our throats with his arm. And so she finally went out the back door. And we held him on the couch as long as we could because the front door was locked. He figured we were already, when I broke loose and got my mom broke loose, he figured we were already dead, so he went after her out the back door. I managed to get the front door open and drag my mom to the house across the street, sheriff's car sitting outside of it. We'd never met our neighbors. They said when they heard something at their door, all they knew is whatever was coming through their door, whatever was following us was not coming in. Well, he'd left his gun in the car that night, which is another mistake on the police officer's fault. You know, you don't leave your service weapon in your vehicle. He went to go grab it when he seen my stepdad was behind us. He made it halfway into the yard. He turned around when he seen the sheriff come out and hightailed it back to his truck and took off. My stepsister had made it down to my landlord's house at the time and was hiding in his garage, and he had a German Shepherd, and she was scared to death of that dog. But the dog actually protected her because when she went through the doggy door of the garage, the dog went out it and stayed there. I don't remember a lot. I remember hearing over the scanner, the police scanner in the house, there he was headed north on Highway 248. I didn't know north, south, east, or west, and I'm like, he's headed to my best friend's house because she knows. So the sheriff and them, you know, take off to go out there, and they find his truck blocking the bridge. And, of course, in Missouri, the area that she lived had just the creeks that go through, and they have the concrete slabs that go over them for driving. And the water was up that night, and he parked his car his truck at an angle right between in the middle of the bridge to where nobody could get around him. They couldn't go through the creek because the water was up, and they couldn't get around him to get to her house. But that's where he deserted the car. They had taken us to the hospital.
I'm going to take a break. I'm going to play this next track, and then we're going to come back and allow you to finish your story. I want to thank you for your transparency as well. Brother O.
Up, I turned on my radio. The DJ played my song. I got up, got dressed and ready. I thought about you, so I called you right before just to tell you that my life won't be the same without you, cause when I wake up next you, the sun shines so much brighter. And when I hear a song with you, tell you what's on my mind. Thought that you should know who would you want in my life. Everything that I thought was right was wrong. Baby girl, you crossed the light. Show me that I was blind for so long.
something real ridiculous. Baby, you be doing things. Yeah, you're not the selfish kind of lover. Yeah, and even though you know I can, yeah, girl, it amazes me the way that you have changed my life. Cause
I wake up next to you, the sun shines so much brighter. And when I hear a song with you, take me higher.
So I just wanna take this time to tell you what's on my mind. I thought that you should know.
But you ain't in my life. Everything that I thought was right was wrong. Baby girl, you crossed the light. Show me that I was blind for so long. It's the little things you do. That's the reason why
I'm rocking with you.
The way you make me feel is something real.
Yo, listen, girl, before you came around, cross the light, show me that I was blind.
It's the little things you do.
It's the reason why I rock with you. Yeah.
The way you make me feel. Something real.
I tell you, I have truly, truly been enjoying your story. I definitely know that some people have been encouraged on tonight. Before we leave, I want you to wrap up just a little bit, and then I want you to share with the listeners how they can follow you, how they can support what you're doing, because you're doing some amazing things in the community. So please make sure that you share that as well.
Okay. Okay, so they, because he went after my best friend, because he knew they knew too much, I figured if he took them out, then he wouldn't be able to testify against him if he was caught. But they lifelighted me and my mom to a bigger hospital in Springfield. I had a 50% chance to live, and my mom got a 20% chance. He'd hit her 7 times in the head. He'd hit me twice. They had to do reconstructive surgery on my mother. We both suffer from migraines now and everything else. He was out for a week before they got him into custody. Then we didn't go to court until April of 91. This was in November of 90 when this happened. He was convicted of 2 life sentences of aggravated assault, not attempted murder. In Missouri, that's only 30 years apiece per count. So every 4 years, me and my stepsister would have to go. Well, me and my mom went to the first 2, and me and my stepsister went to the last one, would have to go to parole hearings that started. The last hearing was in November of 2018. Normally we would have went in 2022 or 23 would have been our next hearing. But we got a letter in August that as of August 24th, 2021, he died in the correctional facility in Missouri. But the reason they gave him 2 counts of aggravated assault instead of attempted murder is because in Missouri, attempted murderers get off with 15 years. You get a life sentence for aggravated assault. But in Missouri, it's only a 30-year sentence. And he got 2 counts to served back-to-back. So he was 35 when he went in, and I think he was 60-something when he passed. But I've started, like I said, I've started working with Studio 222 Productions. We're actually the gal that I started sharing my stories with, or sharing my story with, and has encouraged me to open up to more, to talk to other people and do radio shows like this. She's the one that actually started it. It's the Studio 222 film production team. And there is going to be a movie that they're working on that is not called Not Too Far From Here. I don't know much about the movie. I just know it's about a teenage girl and ends up in a domestic violence situation. But that's, and then we've started with bracelets. The bracelets have on the back of them, we've been putting them into police departments and doctor's offices and everything else to hand out, but it's got the domestic violence hotline number and instructions. So if you text love is to 22522, it connects you with the national domestic hotlines for help on how to. So
that is something nice to know. So I want to thank you for coming on today and sharing with us and being transparent, because at the drop of a dime, you decided to be a part of this broadcast. So I thank you for that. How can they follow you if someone wants to reach out to you or follow you on social media? How can they follow you on social media?
On Facebook, it is under Rassell Hall, RASELHALL. They can find me that way on Facebook. I am also on TikTok at RAZ_H76. That's another way they can connect with me if they can't find my Facebook, which you should be able to find my Facebook. It's pretty easy. There's not a lot of people that have,
I definitely want to thank you for stopping by today.
And then my Instagram is so Misty Hall, so.
Misty Hall. Okay. Well, I want you to hang around if you can in case individuals have questions or comments for you as we have callers come in. I'm going to bring my next guest up after I take caller number two, because caller number two has been patiently waiting in queue. Caller number two, if you can tell me where you're calling from and your name.
Well, good evening, good evening, good evening. Angela, my beautiful queen sister, this is Jarek Thomas with a little tea time, calling from Shreveport, Louisiana. How are you and your wonderful guest tonight?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing good. Well, I want to congratulate you, Angela Thomas, on your O&E syndicated all-time connection record, with your 24th all-time connection record and your third consecutive record tonight. So congratulations to you, Angela Queen Sister, on a job
well
done.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
And,
so I want you to chime in to the conversation, if you will. Do you have anything you want to come in on the topic tonight? And then I want you to share about your show, how they can follow your show.
I actually had a story after listening to your guest tonight. I actually was in a situation where, yes, me, a black gay man, I got into a situation with a guy that I dated maybe about 7 years ago. Moved out of the apartment I was in and moved where he lived, found a job where he lived, and the relationship went downhill really fast. I'm not going to tell the entire story because I know we don't have the time, but we met in January. We moved in together in August, and then by November, I was moving back to my hometown. Same thing, me and him, we got into a fist fight, And he ended up bringing me back to my hometown with two bags of clothes. And I had to start over. I lost my car. I did not have anywhere to come back to. So I ended up staying with my brother for about a few months until I was able to get back on my feet. And one thing I learned that even after that fight, this man did not care that I didn't have clothes. He didn't care if I had a car. He did not care. He was like, you made your decision when you left. And because he said something that even now it strikes me when people say it. And it's one of those things where I have a trust issue, but I'm learning how to just not to be so guarded. But this dude told me, he said, I love you. He told me that. And when he told me that, I believed what he was saying to me. And it went from I love you to we had a fist fight to he was sorry that we had a fight. And I'm looking like, what? And I was like, I had to get out of there because I did not know that in 3 months, I mean, this dude was going to have a fist fight after us just living together for 3 months. And I had to come back to my hometown with two bags of clothes. And I had a lot of embarrassment. Like, my entire family was like, you left it 3 months ago. You were starting a new life, and now you back? But in all of that, I say this. I had to learn to really trust my instincts. I had to learn to trust my gut. I had to learn to see the red flags. So it's nothing against y'all, but when someone says that they love me, that my guard goes up completely because of that relationship, because of that situation. And I had to learn, like, okay, Jerry, some people do have the right intentions and some people really do have wrong intentions. You just have to be able to see what's real and what's bull. And I want to thank you for this topic tonight because this is the second time I've shared this story outside of my counselor's office, outside of my therapy. So this is the second time I've shared this story in public. And coming from a family where we dealt with domestic violence, it's my mother. She was the person that she fought the guys that she dated. And I learned that that was a pathology within my family that I quickly decided to break. And now being single for 4 years, I've learned a lot about myself. That was 7 years ago, but in 4 years I've been single, and I had to learn a lot about me. So to people who have been through domestic violence, for a person that is listening to this show tonight and you are in a domestic violence situation, get out before it is too late. I have seen this with my own two eyes. I've experienced it. And listening to someone tell their story, it sets it back in for me. So I wanted to comment on this topic tonight. I wanted to chime in, and I didn't want to share the story, but it was important for me to share it because your guest had the courage to share her story, and that gave me the courage to come and share mine. So thank you to your wonderful guest tonight.
All right, I'm Jared. So blessed. Please.
So blessed.
Finish your next show,
her.
And how can Jared, your next show, and how can they follow you?
My next show is October the 5th. And it's going to be probably one of my funniest shows I've done on the network here with ONE. I definitely would love for you guys to call in 516-453-9133 and press 1 for some tea time with me, Jared, the gifted one, Thomas. You guys be great. I love you guys, and y'all have a great night.
Thank you for calling in. Thank you for calling in. So I have a track, and then I'm going to bring up my very, very special next guest, Dr. Karen Lomax. Brother O?
Girl, it's been a while, since you've been gone, so much has changed, yeah, but you haven't at all. How long you gonna stay for? We got some things we need to catch up on. Let's go somewhere where we can sit and talk about us. I know you're crying.
we ain't getting younger, babe. So why not give us a try? See what you and me really could be, baby. Cause who's better for you, girl? Look, you know and I know no one else gonna love you like the way you know I could love you, girl.
Coming on and sharing his story and being transparent. Thank you. He is, of course, another host here on this amazing network. Shout out to my producer and the amazing DJ for the selection that he's playing tonight. He's definitely playing some music for his commissioner. I love you. I love you. I love you. So next, y'all, Samantha, you still there? You real quiet over there.
I'm still here.
Y'all know I like to talk, so she being real quiet over there, so I had to check, make sure she's still there. So she's still there. So I have my next guest, she's also very special to me, another one of my mentors. These two amazing women, they keep it raw, and they tell me like it is, and they'll pacify me later, but they're going to tell me like it is so that I can get the point. And then I get what I need right then. And they can pacify me later. But I want to bring up Dr. Karen Lomax. Are you there, Mama?
Yes, I am.
How are you?
I am wonderful. How are you?
I am great. And thank you for being so patient tonight.
Of course, of course.
So, of course, I definitely want you to share with the listeners, before we dive into the conversation, share with the listeners exactly who you are, a little bit about yourself.
Okay, well, I am Dr. Karen Lomax. I'm a pastor. I'm a teacher. I'm a Army chaplain. I'm a board-certified Master Christian Life Coach, a board-certified mental health coach. I am also a business coach. And I'm also a publisher, editor. They call me the literary midwife. I'm the empowerment engineer. I have my own life coaching academy, and I'm a serial entrepreneur and a multi best-selling author as well. And that's just a little bit. We don't have all night to talk about who I am.
Wow. Well, I definitely thank you for coming by and sharing with us tonight. I want you to chime in on this conversation. We're talking about domestic violence. Of course, we are right in the middle of Suicide Awareness Month, and we're getting ready to go into Domestic Violence Awareness Month. Me, myself, I am a survivor of both. I am a suicide attempt survivor, and I am a domestic violence abuse survivor. So both of these topics are near and dear to my heart. I definitely want to give a shout out to the government, the Congress, for all those that have finally pushed to get 988 passed. It's finally up and running and working, and I'm super, super excited about all the lives that can be impacted by that to help cut down and hopefully eliminate suicide, because I want people to know that suicide is not an option. I'm here today to tell right. my story because I'm a survivor. So please share. That's why you're here.
I will share. And I too am a survivor of suicide. A lot of people don't know that about me, and also domestic violence, but not in the sense that everybody else was sharing and being beat. But I am a survivor of molestation. I'm a survivor of rape, and they were all done by family members. So that makes it domestic. And also, I'm divorced. I was married for 15 and a half years. And as Samantha was sharing earlier, domestic violence takes on many facets. It's not just someone putting their hands on you physically, but psychologically, emotionally, and mentally, and financially. I went through that with my ex. You know, he cheated on me for the whole 15 and a half years. And as Samantha said, I could have got out, but mine was a little bit different, and coming from a military family. And so I was a mom, and I had two kids, and he had convinced me to stop working. And so he was doing his thing, and he would keep money from me. He would dish out money, and I could get this, and I could get that, but that was it, and things of that nature. And it really took a turn toward the last 3 years of the marriage is when it really got crazy, and I had got to the point to where I wanted to take him out and then take myself out, but I had to think about my kids. And when you're in a military realm like that, being military myself as well, but I wasn't at that point, but being in that, you could easily say, you know what, I'm going to turn you into your CO because they don't play around when it comes to domestic violence and military. But then what happens is with me not working, we're his dependents. All of our insurance, all of our income falls under him. So it would be like if I, you know, turn him in and they say, okay, we're going to kick you out and put you in the brig, there goes his money, but also there goes all of our benefits. So I was in one of those situations. And then I had the other. I was on the other end of the spectrum, because at the same time I'm going through this, I'm going through training to be a pastor. And so a lot of people don't think that we experience these things because pastors, they don't share. They're not transparent. And so I was in training, and I was told, pray and stay. You know, so it's the other end of the spectrum. You don't just have the family members, but now you have the church telling you that you need to pray and stay. And you hear how God hates divorce. And I really stayed in there because I was like, I don't want to do something that goes against what God, you know, what God's word. I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to be seen not obeying God in all of this. And so it took me a minute to come to myself. And I said, you know what, this would be just one of those things that me and God would have to figure out later. And so when he presented me with divorce papers. He presented them because he was very hurtful and nasty. And so he picked our wedding anniversary day to actually do the divorce, the actual divorce. Well, the day he served me the papers was the morning of the day that I was being licensed as a pastor. So it was like a double whammy. And it was like, so do I sign these papers or do I say, you know what, let me see if I can figure this out, because I had no money, I had no job, but I had two kids. And I said, you know what, I'm going to have to trust God in this. And I did. So I signed the papers. I got signed the papers that morning. I got licensed that evening, and I stood up when they asked me, did I want to say something? I stood up in front of them, and I said, pray for me, because my husband just left us. And so a lot of women will find themselves in these situations, and everybody says, get out, get out, get out. And we can say that because we're out. But we have to remember when we were not out. We have to remember that when we were in there, the feelings that we went through, all of the different things that were holding us in there, and that's how we have to look at some of these women. We can't just tell them, y'all, get out, get out. Even though we know somebody's life may end, us telling them, get out, get out, get out. There has to be a mindset change. There has to be a change in the mind, because that's what's keeping them there. That's the only thing that's keeping them there is I don't see, the self-worth is gone. The self-esteem has taken a hit. Their emotional self is shattered. And so they feel like if I get out, nobody else is going to love me. Not understanding that this is not love, but they've been in it for so long that it's comfortable. And then when we tell them to get out and go where? And then they get out and they go, and then they're like, well, what do I do now? How, for some of them, it's sort of like a catch-22. They get out, and then they suffer. They stay in, and then they suffer. We have to make this middle passage for them that says, you know what, when you get out, you come here, and you're going to be here, and we're going to be with you until you get back on your feet. That's the missing part. It's easy to say get out, but who's doing the recovery? Mm-hmm. There has to be someone doing the recovery. And for me, there was no one there to do the recovery. And so I sunk down. I was into a depression. I wanted to kill myself. I wanted to kill him. And I was the lowest of the low. And it really took me thinking about my children. And I said, where else can I go? What else can I do? He abandoned me I'm still in California. He abandoned me here, brought me here, got orders, left, and went back to the East Coast and left me here with two children, no job in California. So I literally had to start over here. But then the psychological stuff came into play. He started messing with the money, took the money. He sold our house and told me I needed to find some place to live with two kids. Took the money. I didn't get the money. So I ended up joining the military again, going back in because I felt like I put everything on hold to be a wife and a mom. And I was like, this is something unfinished. So I decided to go back in. And in the midst of me going back in, he continued to play the mind games. I ended up with the car in our settlement. So he stopped paying on the car and had the car repoed. So now here I am with no car, no money, no job. So it's that type of stuff. It's not just the physical stuff. It's the psychological games that they play. Manipulation is a type of abuse, and people need to understand that. That's what drives you to really want to take yourself out, because that's part of the abuse that nobody can see. It's easy to heal from those physical, but those psychological wounds, it's not. And you replay this stuff over and over in your mind, and they know that. And then they, you know, with the phone, I had to block him because he would just constantly call my phone and tell me how ugly I was. And because I was in a depressive state, here I am thinking I'm ugly. And then that just triggered all the stuff from my childhood. It was just going, and it just took me back to this spiral. And I was like, you know what, I got to do something. So I took myself to see a psychiatrist. And I ended up with three. I ended up with three because I needed the help. And I had to find one. And when we tell people, get help, you have to make sure that the person that you're sending them to get help is an expert in that field and in that particular section of that field. I had to literally get someone who specialized in PTSD from this type of trauma, from divorce. This is what my counselor specialized in divorce, because a lot of people don't understand that divorce is traumatic because it's the death of a relationship, and you have to grieve it as you do any other death. And mine was so traumatic because it went on. He didn't just sign the divorce papers and say, bye, see ya, abandoned. He didn't. He signed the divorce papers and he left, and then he kept coming at me. He just kept doing things to try to disrupt my life, even though he wasn't here. And so I ended up having, you know, got an attorney and stuff, and so I'm still paying off that divorce, and that was in 2011. So that just tells you how much money that went towards attorneys to try to fight in two different states and get all kinds of orders for him to stop calling, to stop messing with this and stop messing with that. And eventually I ended up writing a book. I wrote a book, and it's called Let Me Tell It, The Pain, and it's just, that's part one. Book two will be coming out next month, but that's just part one. And I go through this, and I write about my divorce and how it happened, and I let people see it from a pastor's side, because I have to let them know, just because I carry that title doesn't mean that I don't carry those scars. And there's a lot that I'm leaving out, but because I don't want to drag this whole interview out and take up time, but I really want people to understand that just saying get help, we can't just say get help. When we say get help, we have to be prepared to take action with that person when we say get out. You know what I'm saying? When we say get out, we need to have something lined up for that person so that once they leave that situation, they go into this next phase where they're getting the help, and then from there, there's somebody walking this thing out with them. Because I had no one. I had no one. There was nothing like what we're doing right now, what we're all trying to do. And I specialize in empowerment. That's what I do. And I'm an identity specialist. That I'm certified in that, and that's what I do. I help women with their identity to find it again. And so we have to have people in place like that, not just dealing with the physical stuff, because once you take care of the physical stuff, the mental stuff, the emotional stuff is still there, and it's right. missing. And so those are some of the things that I really wanted to touch on and to let people know that we just can't say, y'all, get out, because we hear it all the time, and women are like, okay, I want to get out, but nobody is helping me get out. Who's physically going to go over there and get her out? You know, and then who's going to, once she's out, who's going to talk to her and talk to her identity to tell her you don't go back to that? And that's work. That's a process. And we have to have people who want to be involved in that process, and that's what I do, because I didn't have that, and I wish right. I would have. It would have not taken me this long to get where I am right now, to be able to talk to these women. And I tell them how I dropped out of high school, you know, and went into the Army to help take care of my grandparents, but also to get away from that situation. You know, I didn't finish high school, but now here I am. 15 degrees later, working on my second PhD. So I tell them my story because I don't want them to see where I am. I want them to see where I started from and how I went through the process and got to here, and to show them that it can be done. And like Samantha said, there's forgiveness that has to come into it. But let me tell you something. It was easy for me to forgive all of those family members. It was hard for me to forgive myself. It was hard for me to forgive myself for beating myself up, for beating myself up and telling myself I deserve that because and this and that. I had to forgive me for feeling less than what I know I, you know, less than my worth. And so that it took me years to forgive myself. For downing myself, for doubting myself.
And that's the important
that's
part.
That's where the work takes place. Yes, ma'am.
Yep.
That's where the work takes place. the work don't take place when you forgive the other person, because they don't care whether you forgive them or not. You forgive the other person, and that's fine. It's like, wow, okay, cool, whatever. Half the time, they done went on about their life anyway, and you're the
right.
one that's stuck with you. You know what I mean?
Right.
You're the one that's stuck with you, and you're stuck with all these pieces of your life, and there's no one to tell you how to start piecing it back together. There's no one there. And that's why my one of my businesses with my HERS, life coaching, that's why it's a puzzle piece. Because I want women to know there's nothing missing. The pieces are not missing. The pieces are there. And I have a puzzle piece suspended above another puzzle piece, which represents the pieces are there. You just need someone to help you put them back into place. There's nothing missing. There's nothing lacking. You just need help to rearrange and rediscover and reorganize and restore. That's what's needed. And that's how I ended up with HERS, and that's what God gave me, because that's the process I had to go through. I had to go through the healing. I had to go through the empowerment. I had to go through the restoring. I had to go through the reorganizing. And then I had to go through the support piece. All five steps is what makes up what I do in the lives of these women. And now I relaunched my Out of the Ashes empowerment group. And we're launching them all over the place. I just launched one in Nigeria. And that's just to open it up so women have a safe space where they can come to and say, this is what I'm going through. Don't sugarcoat anything, because we cripple women and we leave them in these types of situations when we enable them and when we sugarcoat stuff. You have to tell them straight up. It's like, if you don't get out, you're going to die in this. You could die in it. You could possibly get out, or you could die, or you're going to die in this. If he doesn't kill you, you're going to kill yourself because you can't take it. So we have to be straight up and honest. There has to be the demolition part, and then there has to be the reconstruction part. But the demolition part is telling them, it's breaking down all of the false identity mess that they've been told. There has to be a demolition. That has to be stripped away and say, you're not who they say that you are. You're not that person that he's beating on. You don't deserve that. You're worth more than that. If you leave, there is somebody that's going to love you. And if there's not another person, you are the person that needs to love you first. So those are the things that we have to work on. Those are the things that we have to do. That's the recovery.
Yes.
There has to be recovery before there's some healing to take place.
Yes.
There must be recovery. Somebody needs to go and recover these women. You know what I mean?
So we have
because
some callers.
It's not a rescue.
We have
anymore.
Some callers that want to chime in. I want you to hang on. We want to bring these callers on. Caller number three, you're in queue. If you would please state your name and where you're calling from, please.
Hello. Hi, this is Ricardo. I got a show on O&E, Trenton, mixed with Ricardo Richard. I just had a question. What do you feel like throughout this whole process and everything, like what do you feel like you learned about yourself and as it pertains with your relationship with God?
Oh, thank you for that. Number one, what I learned about myself is I'm way stronger than what I thought I was. I'm more powerful than I thought that I was. And what this did was it reminded me, because I'm still here, it reminded me that when everybody else is gone and everybody else left and everything else fall apart, guess who was still there at the end of it all? God was. He never left me. Even if nobody else came back into my life, God was still there. And I had to realize that I'm still alive. So that meant God was still there. He still had his hands on my life. And it told me that I have a purpose. And that's what people need to know in these types of relationships, these abusive situations, is there's a purpose. You have one. There's a purpose, and this is not it. What you're going through, that's not your portion. This is not what God intended for your life. I don't care what people say. This is not, and everybody will say, oh, well, you know, there was a purpose in that, in you, you know, going through the domestic violence. No, there was not. That's a fallacy. There was no purpose in somebody beating you up. There was no purpose in that. That was human stuff that had nothing to do with God. But what God did is he's an opportunist, and he took that opportunity to turn my life around. And he took that opportunity to say, now that you've experienced something like this, now you can go and help other women and men who are in this type of situation. So it brought me closer to God, and it gave me another viewpoint of who God is in my life.
Wow. Ricardo, I hope that answered your question. If you would please share your show and when you'll be on next, please. Thank you.
Yes, October 11th at 9:30. Again, Trenton Makes by Ricardo Rashard. Thank you so much, and I've really been really enjoying this conversation, so thank you.
Well, thank you. Thank you for chiming in. We have caller number 4 in queue. Caller number 4, if you can state your name and where you're calling from, please.
Hi, this is Offset Atunre calling out of Brooklyn, New York. Peace and divine light, ladies. How is everyone doing tonight?
Awesome.
Hey, how are you?
I am very proud of all of you beautiful ladies for coming on and sharing your stories. It takes a lot of courage, and I, too, am a domestic violence survivor. I am a suicide attempt survivor, and I am also a rape survivor. I think it is an honor to be able to know someone else out there with the same story and the same journey that can be able to sit down and reflect on everything that they've went through in life and to still be here after all of the pain and the suffering and everything. And one interesting thing about my story is I didn't have any children. So I want to tell you beautiful women with kids that you are one of the strongest, phenomenal women out here. And thank you so much, everyone, for coming on, sharing your story. I would also like to add on one thing I do know that gets unnoticed is that men go through their own form of abuse as well. And I think that they need to be talked about and recognized. And I hope one day a lot of men can come forward, because there's this image that they have that they have to be strong, and it's not fair that they have to have such masculine manhood that they can't express their feelings. But there's a lot of us out here that we couldn't just get out. You know, my first marriage, a lot of people knew what was going on, but instead of them wanting to really help, they just was very, very judgmental. And I was in a situation where I didn't really have anywhere to go. I didn't have any money because my first husband was the head of the household, and he kind of was my provider and caretaker. And he was very traditional. All of the women in his family didn't work. So for me, it was very traditional that I didn't work and I just sat at home and take care of the house. And that wasn't something that I really wanted to do. So that's where the control came in, my first marriage. He was very controlling. And even if I wanted to just branch off and have an idea to do my own thing or provide my own income, it was very impossible being with him at the time. And I'm really, really glad that I made it out of that abusive situation. There was times where I went to school because I was going to college. So a lot of the times I went to college with black eyes and busted lips and everything. So it's just an honor to be able to meet you ladies. And Angela, I'm so proud of you. Keep shining. You ladies, y'all keep shining. And I love you all. Thank you so much.
Thank you for stopping by. If you would, please share your show and when you'll be on next. Thank you.
Thank you so much. My next show will be October 12th at 9:30 Eastern Time. and the topic is called Original Woman, Know Your Position. We're going to be talking about the woman back in the day, how she was in her divine nature, and how in today's time the women are kind of in their savage mode and they're not in their divine state. So it's going to be deep, and I hope you ladies can join in. I personally invite you to join in me October 12th.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Asset, for stopping by. We have caller number 5.
So Angela can,
I wanted to
respond to her when she was saying about the men and domestic violence, and yes, they are, and yes, I have a group called HIS, and it stands for Healing, Inspire, and Supporting, and it's all men, and it's for them, and we provide mentoring and coaching for them as well.
And also, yes, thank you for with that said, I've interviewed quite a few men in the last year that's gone through domestic violence. It's very important that we understand this is not just a woman thing that's going on.
Right.
Men face this daily.
Right, exactly. Right. And they have a book. They have a book out there. And they have a book on Amazon called His Turn. If you go to Amazon, the guys on my HIS team that do that, they have a book called His Turn, When Enough Was Enough. We published a book, and it talks about all of them being in different types of situations.
Exactly. I think I shared last year during our domestic violence takeover, our 24-hour takeover from different states, and there's like five states that lead men live in domestic violence, and it wasn't the women. And you would be shocked at the states that there were, New York being one of them. Put that out there. But definitely, we want to definitely let people know that it's not gender specific. It happens,
right?
And it can happen to anybody. And
right.
we just want to educate
about
and empower
tonight.
Yes, ma'am. So yes, we have caller number 5 in queue. Caller number 5, if you would please share your name and where you're calling from.
Hey, peace. This is Huni Bakatun, aka the Magic Man Haru. And congratulations to you for such a great, great show tonight. Congratulations to all the women who spoke and shared certain things that happened in their life. Abuse is a really, really one of the most under-addressed issues. I think that, not just think, but I know. I mean, so I commend all of y'all for being a survivor. I just want to take time to say that, okay?
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you as well. All right.
So, honey, before you leave, don't you dip that quick. Please share who you are. Y'all, he's a Hall of Famer. He's actually inducted into the Hall of Fame as a broadcaster. So, honey, if you would please share, you'll be on tomorrow, so please share about your show.
Yeah, tomorrow night, thank you so much. Tomorrow night's show, I'll be speaking about love, peace, and soul. When we had these three elements, it allowed us to rule ourselves, each other, and the rest of the world. 9:30 Eastern Standard Time, I'm the host of We Will Away. Thank you so much, okay?
Thank you. Thank you for stopping by. Y'all, it's coming to that time when we have to close. So I want to give everybody an opportunity to recap tonight, just briefly share your thoughts, something encouraging for those that are tuned in tonight. I want to start with Rochelle. Are you still on?
Yes, I'm still here.
If you would share something encouraging before we leave tonight, we're going to wrap up, and then it's going to be Ngozi time.
I mean, there is hope out there. Don't think because of my story, you know, I reached out to more of the kids because there's so many kids out there that I know that are going through what I went through, and they don't know how to get help. They don't know that there's help out there because they're afraid, just like I was, you know, if you go and ask for help, that you're afraid, oh, well, the person's going to find out and then it's going to make it worse. I do encourage you to, you know, reach out. My lifeline, you know, the lifeline that I'm helping support is, you know, text LOVE IS to 22522. It's the National Domestic Hotline. And they will, you know, help you and figure out how to get you the help you need.
Well, I want to thank you for stopping by tonight and sharing your story. I want to applaud you, and I want to encourage you to continue to be a voice for those that may think they don't have a voice. Dr. Karen, if you would share something inspirational really quick before we close out.
Yes, ma'am. I want anyone who's listening to know that you can get out, and if you don't know where to go when you leave, I know if you're here in California, you can go to a Denny's and you can go to an IHOP. Those are safe places. And you just go there and you let them know and they will call the police and they will hide you. So we know that here. So, but I also want people to understand that God is not angry at you. God does not condemn you for staying, and he's not going to condemn you for leaving. So I just want somebody to know that God loves you, even if you stay, and he's with you. But have that courage. If you can get out, we do want you to get out. But don't get into a situation like we were talking about before if you know it's not safe. You have to have help to do that. So reach out, get help, find an opportunity to do that. But just don't ever condemn yourself. Don't allow other people to condemn you. Don't allow other people's judgment to make you feel bad about your situation. Because somebody, we all have a vice. We all have something that we've been in, and it took a minute for us to get out. Sometimes these times, but you're healing. Your healing is important. Go through the process. Do not stop the healing process. It doesn't matter if he's like, I feel fine. You may feel fine, but you're not fine. Go through the process. Don't cut it short. Grieve it, and then let's start to rebuild. And for anybody that's looking for me on social media, I got too many social media things out there. You guys can just go to Google and just type in my name. Just type in Dr. Karen D. Lomax, and I'll pop up, and you'll see all my social media stuff. And I thank you for inviting me to speak so candidly tonight.
Thank you. Thank you for stopping by and sharing. Samantha, if you could share really quick before it goes to town.
Yes, just say stay encouraged at all times. It isn't easy to always walk away, but the first thing you have to do is have a strategy, and also learn to forgive yourself before you forgive anything else. That's very important. A lot of women don't realize that until you can forgive yourself for things that are not your fault, you can't move past any situation, especially domestic violence. And you can find me on Facebook, Author Samantha Jackson, Author Samantha J, also JYNR Sam on Instagram and Twitter.
Thank you for stopping by. So we have Ngozi time.
First of all, I want to say this is the best ever domestic violence show in all you guys' history. And that's not saying if any shows have been here before, but, you know, I just want to say it out loud. Tonight, these young ladies came on and spread their gospel of healing. A lot of times things are hard to hear, but you have to hear them to make yourself better. Only Dynasty saves lives. We congratulate our commissioner from both Gaming Network and Beverly Nation, the Honorable Angela Thomas-Smith, on her 24th ONE syndicated station, all-time connection record, and third consecutive. And I'm very proud of her for being honest in her journalism. And that's all. That's it. And tomorrow night, one of these ONE stations have a young man that's been doing it for 4 years and counting. The International Internet Radio broadcasting in Shawnee for the class of 2020, The Magic Man Haru, Huni Bakasun, and We Will Wear You, 9:30, Studio A, Eastern Daylight on these OD stations. And, of course, Damon Network has advertising through ONE, which is on Lodella Ingalls Enterprise, which is, of course, at www.lookingglassentertainment.wordpress.com, as well as on Ghosty Primetime on that, Damon.com. We're in Ghosty Time both on Twitter and Instagram. Lodella Ingalls Enterprise at Google+. Lodella Malay Ingalls at Facebook, as well as our business page, Walking in Purpose, as well as the Historic Determined and Motivated Online Now Network established 2016. And any comments, suggestions, or welcome program tonight? Down it goes with myandgmail.com, and I am. The 2021 International Internet Radio Producing Shrinery, but most importantly, your mother and father's favorite producer, Oladele Malay Ringos, is saying good night and good luck to all the folks out there in Armed Forces Radio that support us on a constant basis tonight. We give it to the hands of our commissioner, and sometimes it's best you have 2 minutes left to go into the program.
I want to thank my special guests for stopping by tonight. I also want to thank all of the listeners that tuned in and make this possible for us, that make this platform possible. I want to thank Brother O and our amazing host here on ONE Dynasty. I want to encourage everyone to tune in next month, October the 20th, same time, same place. I'm going to have an amazing show for you guys. If you can, please check us out on Amazon, 121 Days of Prayer. You, of course, can follow me on Linktree, Queen of Collaborations. I love you, and there's absolutely nothing you can do about it. Good night. Be blessed.
Day one, so where is all this coming from? Be now.